Right, just before we get going today, Kev, I feel like I owe you an apology. I'm really sorry about last week, pal.
I didn't really understand it, if I'm honest. I thought I was doing a good job, but you are the boss. I understand this is your thing, and I know my place, and it's fine.
No.
I know my place.
No, thank you for saying that, mate. It's nothing personal. It's
Sure,
nothing
sure.
personal. I think it's just more in terms of it's the consistency, isn't it?
No, of
And
course.
if we start letting everybody just have a go at hosting the podcast, Callum will want to go, and then Matt
Right.
and Tony will want back on, and it just gets messy.
It
It gets
does.
messy that way, So I just thought, I think we can draw a line under it, but I just wanted to know that I am sorry. So that's
Okay.
it.
Well,
Nothing
thank you.
personal.
I appreciate that. That's
No,
cool.
cheers,
That's
mate.
cool.
Cheers. Actually, the other thing, just before we hit record, I did want to ask you a question. So I've got a bit of a fancy event I'm attending in a couple of weeks' time.
Look at
And I've
you
got a
go.
suit, but I know, thank you very much. I'm coming up in the world. Look at me, thriving, not surviving. I
Obviously.
was hoping, I'm looking for some sort of like fancy kind of like big belt or cummerbund that might go with my outfit. And is that the kind of thing that you might have access to that you could lend me for the event, Kev?
Big belt or
Yeah, nice, nice, big and chunky. Like, make something to make a real statement with.
I don't have many options if I'm on up. I mean,
Okay.
there's one option that I
Okay.
could show you if you're interested
Yeah,
in.
absolutely, absolutely.
Hang on.
Okay. Oh, yes.
I
You
mean,
reckon you could?
it's quite a lot.
No, I think it'd really set it off nicely. Do you reckon that's something you could do me a little lend of?
No, because it's mine.
Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I am your host, Rich Owens. I'm back. I've been away, but I've come back because I always do. And I'm delighted to be joined this morning by my close first personal friend from the world of podcasting and reality. It's the United City FM Kev. How are you doing this morning, pal?
Hello, Richard. I'm very happy that you're back, mate. It's good. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here all on my tod, and that wouldn't have been a fun podcast for anybody. So, because I'm not supposed to host one, so that could be complicated. So yeah, it's good to see you. I'm doing pretty good, thank you. People have known that the last couple of months have been problematic, but this week has been better, and we will absolutely take better. Hopefully, next week will
Absolutely.
be even better, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. But yeah, I'm pretty good, thank you. How about yourself? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's been a pretty hectic couple of weeks in on my end. I put a little tweet about it earlier in the week, just apologising, basically saying sorry for not being around very much recently. So I've had a manic half term with the family, and then this last week has been just in terms of life behind the scenes has been pretty hectic. So fingers crossed, touch wood, all of the busy things are starting to quiet down a little bit now. So a little bit more time to concentrate on the things that I enjoy. Yeah, just
Rich, you've got two
yes.
relatively young children. It's never going to settle down.
It's never going to settle down. It's never going to settle
You may
down.
hope it might.
No, but it won't. But it won't ever. It literally won't ever. It was lovely, actually. I met up with some cousins over the course of the week. Say met up with. We had a bereavement in the family a few weeks ago, and we had a funeral. And Kevin and I were chatting before we went live. A lot of my family, we're spread out just all over the world, so it's very, very rare we're all in the same place at the same time. And so getting to catch up with my cousins was lovely. But most of us have kids now. And there's a really kind of interesting split in the ages. So, I've got a couple of cousins who are younger than me, and they've got two kids who are a couple of years younger than mine. And then I've got older cousins whose kids are a few years older than mine. So we've kind of got that really nice kind of the balance of the generations kind of, has stayed the same. And we were all just chatting. Just it was lovely because we were all spending some time together, all just talking about how tired we are. I'm like, I'm just sat there saying to my younger cousins with kids younger than mine, I was like, doesn't get easier. they don't get any more docile. And then my older cousins like turning around having the same conversation with me, like, oh, just trust me, you know, just because they get older doesn't mean they get quieter. Come on now. So it's inevitable. It goes on forever, basically.
So myself and my missus, she had a couple of kids from a previous marriage, mm-hmm. and they're grown up and now they've got kids. So I am a step granddad, which is lovely. But we don't have those little kids in the house anymore. So our thing isn't about tiredness. But we also, as people know, had a bereavement in the family recently. So lots of people got together. The most weird conversation I had was with some slightly elderly relative on my missus' side of the family, who I've probably seen once in about 15 years, talking to me about how my blog was going. I don't have a blog. But it's about as close as they could get, I think, to actually figuring out what it was that I actually did. But so I kind of had to play along and just sort of, good. It's very good. Mm-hmm. So weird though, isn't it?
It's lovely. Yeah, trying to explain what you do as a hobby to people that just have no understanding of it is the hardest thing to do. Because some of my cousins mentioned they mentioned things like podcasting and streaming mm-hmm. in front of some older relatives. So what is that? It's like, well,
don't know and we do it.
Yeah, I give it a go, and I turn on a camera and I play a game and I talk to people while I'm playing it, and I say, oh, what game is it? And like, oh, it's called Football Manager, and it's basically just spreadsheets and HR. And they're like, oh, that doesn't sound very exciting. I'm like, sometimes it isn't.
True.
Sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's a tricky one. And people watch you doing that. And I know. Takes all sorts, doesn't it?
It really takes all sorts. And we're all very glad and grateful for the all sorts.
Absolutely we are, because as Kev said, otherwise it's just us sat in a room talking to ourselves, which is nobody wants to see.
By the way, people, anybody out there listening or watching, the all sorts, that's you, that is. So mm-hmm,
that's
hi.
You. Hello, all sorts. Thank you. Thank you so much. For just validating this, for validating all of this. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So
it is.
Tricky thing to explain to people that aren't necessarily fans of football straight or have no concept for things like streaming. So
yep,
it's a tricky one, but eventually they might come around to the idea.
They never will.
Goodness gracious me. So I mean, look, we've explained the concept of Football Manager and streaming to strangers. But, you know, in terms of people that are in the know and understand the core concept.
Yeah.
Kev, have you been playing any Football Manager this week?
I have, which is really, really nice. Positive for me mm-hmm. because there have been lots of gaps, as we say, over the last few weeks, sure. which has been problematic. But so I got the second half of my week in this week in streams, and it feels mm-hmm. like I'm back into the routine and the consistency and the habit of it mm-hmm. again. So Wednesday through Friday we did this week, which was great to get back in. So you were suggesting that we were now talking to those that were in the know and understood the process and what we're doing. Can anybody that understands the process and knows what they're doing please tell me, because I haven't got a clue, because it's been a nightmare. But it's been a fun nightmare in a lot of ways. So just a little bit of a preface. I hadn't played the game in about 9 days, something like that, since my last stream when we came back on Wednesday. And there is that random thing where you load it up, you sit there and you look at it for a moment, you go, oh, yes, I remember now. It was going really, really, really well. Kind of not. So I'm at Colwyn mm-hmm. Bay in the Welsh Leagues. I found mm-hmm. them in the second tier and got them promoted, which was lovely. Mm-hmm. I then spent a season with them predicted to be bottom of the table and get relegated. And we finished fourth, which was amazing. And mm-hmm. so you then think, well, okay, so the tactical setup works. We were fourth, but there's an improvement that we can make in terms of the quality of player a little bit. If we wheel and deal a little bit and get the right people in, we can move this club forward and get slightly better, or at least match the results, basically, of this season where we mm-hmm. overachieved. So I spent a summer transfer window on stream a week or two back. With my stream, finding some new players, putting them into place. And we all agreed that whilst we had probably taken away the roundness of some of our players through all of their different attributes. We had identified very specific key attributes that were going to make them better at the role that we wanted them to play. Mm-hmm. So they might not have had all of the physicals and mentals, but my creative player could pass and had good technique and had vision, except, you know, so whereas before one of those was really low and the others were relatively low, but he had some good mentals and physicals. Now we're specifically going towards the role that we chose. So we did that throughout the squad. And actually, I thought, got a really good team together, half, you know, at least half of which were what we had previously in the fourth place season. So we started with really, really good high hopes. They didn't last very long, Rich. They really didn't last very long. I'm going to go in game. I'm just finding them. To show you, to tell you exactly how bad it got, because it got really bad. So, beginning of this last season just gone, we won all of our friendly matches and thought, brilliant, it's all working, we're getting goals, it's looking great. We won the very first game in the Welsh League Cup, which was fantastic. And then the league season started and we played last season's champions in Cardiff Met Uni and got a draw. And I thought, not bad, not bad. And then we lost, drew, won. That was the next dozen games or something. And it just did not work. I don't know why it didn't work necessarily at the time, because it was the same tactical setup with one or two little minor tweaks and maybe a player role that had changed. We'd got a few new players in that were bedding into the system. So you kind of expect it's going to take a moment, but not 12 games of losing, basically, for it to figure out. We got a win, which was positive. And then immediately afterwards, we lost again, 4-2. So you go, oh, okay. Now, at that point, that section of a win, a loss, a draw just before that was the section that I was playing on the stream on Wednesday. So we'd come back in on Wednesday, and that like 10-game losing streak was what I saw when I opened it up and went, oh, yes. So we got a draw, we got a win, then we got a loss. It was very inconsistent, very frustrating, though. So all the way through the stream, I'm going, I'm not quite sure I understand this totally. We all think that some of these players are pretty decent. I mean, for the level that we're playing at, of course.
Sure.
But it's not working. And through that loss period, we were playing a 3-5-2 primarily, and I didn't want to change that. For two reasons. One, because I'd never previously got the three at the back to work for me. And the previous season we'd finished fourth and I was really quite excited about getting it to work. So I wanted to stick with it. And two, in that summer, because it had worked so well, I made the really smart managerial decision to get rid of all of my wingers. So I had no wide attacking players because I wanted to play the 3-5-2 with the wing backs, etc. and all that stuff. So I geared my squad towards it. So those were reasons that I didn't want to change it. But on that Wednesday, when things were still going relatively badly, and then there was a little bit of a good spot, and then it went bad again. Of course, what happens as a streamer, and all the streamers out there will relate to this, I'm sure, is that you get, you know, X amount of people in your stream all giving you lovely, really well-considered advice about how they would change it because it works on their save or it worked for them 3 years ago or, you know, you might want to change it to this. And if you pay attention to the next streamer that you are watching when they are struggling, pay attention to the chat and you will see play a target forward. Play a little nippy poacher, play three at the back, play four at the back, play three wide men down the left-hand side, play no wide men down there. And you will see all of it in the space of about 20 minutes because that's what happens when people are watching you and this, and you're struggling. They give you all of the advice. But there was a relatively strong theme about it's not going great. You can see it's not going great. We need to change something, maybe go four at the back at least and see what happens in the next little while. There came a point on that Wednesday afternoon where I just got frustrated. not in any massive way, but just internally with myself and the fact that we were on this like 10-match losing streak and it was all pretty poor and I didn't know how I was going to change it. And they were going, play the diamond. Don't have to go wide. Just play the diamond and play four at the back of the blood. So I went, fine, stuff it. You want it, we'll do it. And I did that moment of, we're going to go into a second tactical setup. We're going to set up a 4-4-2 diamond just because they wanted it. And we're going to put the gegenpress on with no changes. And we're going to play it. And we won 4-0. Now, we then played the New Saints, and anybody that knows Welsh football will know that the New Saints are pretty much impossible to beat. Even though they didn't win the league title last season, they're still really hard. We lost to them 2-1, which actually, again, isn't a bad result when you consider who they are and the fact that they were at the top of the table at the time. So the following match, after our 4-0 win and our 2-1 close encounter with the New Saints, we won 6-0. This is going really well, Rich. All of a sudden, my chat were really loving
suddenly.
It.
Yeah, what are the chances?
I don't understand why they were really loving it, but they were really, really loving it. And so then I couldn't change back, could I? Because I had to play the diamond in midfield and the four at back because it was working so much. And we lost, drew was my next dozen matches, playing mostly the diamond until about the last couple where I said, stuff it, you lot were wrong. I'm going back to my 3-5-2 to see if I can get it to work. And we didn't. It went really badly. So I quit. And the reason that I quit was because twofold. One, I got called into the boardroom to talk about a few bits and pieces and appease them, and that was fine. But I could see the writing was on the wall that that was going to be my near future for every other day for the next 4 weeks or whatever. And two, I couldn't figure it out. I genuinely couldn't figure this out. I thought my players were good enough. I thought that there were one or two in there that were really good for the level that we were playing at. I'd played the 3-5-2 in about four iterations of it, trying to figure some stuff out. I played the 4-4-2. I played a 4-3-3, I think, on one occasion just to change it again to see what happens. And nothing worked. And it got to the point where I thought, okay, well, I can sit here in my journey save across the British Isles. I can sit here and try and figure this out for the next five streams and still potentially get the sack. Or we can just journey. And we can just move on and say, okay, it was an experience. We did really well to get them up. We did really well to get them into fourth. And then it went wrong. Mostly my fault, I'm sure, in some way. Although I still don't quite know why it went as bad as it did. But it did. Mm-hmm. And they finished off the season about half dozen fixtures after I had been gone. And they drew, lost, drew, won. So it wasn't a massive upturn. It was just what it was. So I left the club. And I was, you know, in a roundabout way, I'm a bit sad that I left the club because nobody wants to sort of have to walk away because it's going so badly. But it went so badly. It really did. Other than that 20-minute period where I won 4-0 and 6-0 and my chat went, see, told you, which was so painful. It was so painful for me as the streamer sitting in the midst of that. You're just going, no, please, just lose again. I want you to lose again. And they, you know, eventually they did, but it was a problem. So on the Thursday, last thing on the Thursday stream, I resigned. On the Friday, we looked for some jobs. We got a few interviews, primarily what I wanted, because I started in the sixth tier of English football with Hampton and Richmond for a couple of seasons, then moved to Wales. I wanted to go to one of the islands or Scotland next if I could find a decent role there. And we applied for several jobs on the Friday, you know, the likes of Stirling Albion and Hamilton was the first one we had as an option, and they decided not to employ me, etc. Then Football Manager gets really weird, Rich. And I know that, you know, everybody knows that it has this opportunity to get really weird. So we didn't find a job on the Friday. So I said, on my weekend, I will do some work on it, probably find a job myself, because I don't want to do that type of stream too much. Yeah. The job hunt kind of stream. So I'll probably find a job and set it up a little bit, and then we'll come back on Monday next week with a job in place and we can get going again. So that was the thought. I had a really, really lovely day yesterday. So we're recording this Sunday morning. Saturday, I had a really lovely day. My missus was busy and happy to be doing whatever it was she was doing. And I watched football and played Football Manager, and I haven't done that for ages because I don't play off stream at all, really, because I like to keep it fresh for the stream. I don't have a save that's not my stream save. And most of what we do is on the stream. We try and do most of the transfer dealings and all that stuff. So it's very rare that I get an opportunity to literally spend like 7 hours yesterday playing Football Manager at a relatively slow pace, it must be said. But the reason for it is because half of that was trying to find a job, you know, and we had several interviews and various ones didn't work out. And then once I'd found a job, and we'll get back to that in a second, you have lots of things to do because it was actually the summer window. So I could go for a complete summer transfer window because five seasons in, if I bought them into the start of my transfer window on Monday and said, this is my new team and these are the players, they'd go, we don't know who any of those are. I don't know who this team is. You know, what have they done? Where have they been? And all stuff. So it doesn't matter that on Monday I'm going, I had a transfer window at the beginning of my reign, and this is now my team because this is the team you're going to get used to watching in the next little while anyway. So that was my choice. So I spent 7 hours playing Football Manager yesterday, Rich, and it was very, very lovely.
Nice.
And I got a job. And this is where it gets weird. So if you really, really analyze what happened here, is I went to Hampton and Richmond as a manager with no coaching badges at all and limited Sunday League experience. I got a coaching badge while I was there, which is great, but we finished a mid-table in the sixth tier of English football twice, and I didn't feel connected to it, and I didn't feel like I was moving them forward, and we didn't have much finance and all that stuff, so I walked away. I went to Colwyn Bay, who had dropped down into the second tier during that time that I was at Hampton, and in my first season, I got them promoted, which is kudos. That's good. That builds your reputation, and I'd worked on a second coaching course a little bit in my second season with them as well, so we were improving, and then we got fourth, and that was pretty good, considering we were supposed to get relegated on that season, and then we had the season from hell and nothing worked. And I won like three times in the league, got about 14 points overall, I think it was, and just could not get anything to work. And then I walked away. And with all of that in mind, bearing in mind that I then went and asked for a few different teams if I could be their manager, and they went, no, thank you very much. It's fine. You do you. We'll be over here doing us. It's fine. You carry on. I found an interesting option, but it was an interesting option back in England, and it wasn't the way that I originally thought my time was going to go. But when you find a championship club that are supposed to finish mid-table and they finish dead bottom of the championship in their current season and they sack their manager and drop down to League One, you think two things. One, well, they're never going to look at me because they're a former championship team and I've been working in the Welsh football system. All respect to the Welsh football system, but it's not very often you get a manager from there going into a relatively well-known club. But a club, nonetheless, that went down to League One. So I applied for it because I thought, actually, it's a decent-sized club that's got a bit of a name. And it's not that long ago that they were in the Premier League either. Not really. And all of a sudden, this team that were finished, due to finish 11th and finished like 24th or whatever it was in the league, in the championship, went down to League One, offered me an interview. Ooh. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. But I've had lots of interviews across some Scottish clubs that probably matched them in terms of star ratings of the club and all that kind of business. Sure. So I wasn't hopeful, but I thought because it's such an interesting opportunity, because they're going to be a big force in League One and it will give me a good springboard potentially, I'll apply for it. I only went and got the job. And I'm now at a League One club who was a championship club last season, who was due to finish in the in the middle of the championship last season, was in the Premier League a little while ago. I'm at Stoke City. How do you go from Hampton and Richmond in the sixth tier of English football for two seasons and don't really progress them to moving to a second tier Welsh team, getting into the Welsh Premier League, finishing fourth above expectation, then having the most worst season in the world and Stoke go, that's our guy. But they did. And this is a bit of a spoiler for anybody listening to this on the Monday, because you won't find this out, on anybody else won't find this out until the Monday afternoon live stream that we do to introduce my new team. But I am now League One's Stoke City manager.
Wow.
Interestingly, they had quite a lot of players, obviously, that had relegation release clauses and other bits and pieces and some problems with the fact that they got relegated and didn't want to be there, even though it was probably mostly their fault. What can you say? Yeah. But it is, you know. So lots of them left. Mm-hmm. I went into a club that when I showed up had a bank balance of, I think it was about £14 million and about £900,000 of that in a transfer kitty. Right. Mm-hmm. I have completed my transfer business because yesterday I played Football Manager all day and it was very, very lovely. I am sitting on the first game of the season, just about to play that on my live stream on Monday against Bromley, for anybody who's interested. Okay. 14 million in the bank, 900,000 in the transfer kitty. I've currently got nearly 70 million in the bank. And 26.8 million in the transfer kitty. And I've done all of my transfer dealings because so many of my good players were desperate to leave. And they all had like £13 million release clauses. Now, I only got one or two of them to actually go for their release clause. A lot of them were like 7 million, 6 million, whatever it was that they went for. But I, in the end, I sold, let's go and have a look, £56 million worth of players, but I'm in League One.
Yeah.
And you can't spend £56 million in League One because nobody will come to you that's worth any value of that sort of ilk. I have bought £14.75 million worth of players into a League One club, which is pretty impressive. And a couple of loans from Man United and Liverpool as well, which helps immensely. But I feel like for League One, we're in a really good position because I was able to pick and choose the ones that I was allowing to leave. And there's still two or three in there that should not be playing in League One, Rich, because they're far too good for it. But I haven't let them go because they had contracts for a couple of seasons left or whatever. It's going to be a fun start.
You're going to have a good time there, Kev. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. When you started kind of, you know, alluding to who the club might be, a little alarm bell started flashing in the back of my head thinking, he's going to say he's managing Sheffield Wednesday.
I thought you might for a moment.
And I was like, okay, they're a club that, you know, they're predicted a mid-table championship finish. And I'm thinking, okay, because you're what, four seasons in, maybe five?
I've just had my fifth season.
Just had your fifth season.
So we're in starting 2028, season, basically.
2028 now. Okay. So yeah, but by around that kind of time, you'd be thinking, you know, there is the potential for them to kind of, you know, fix things. I think it seems to be quite a commonplace thing with saves that you see on Football Manager this year is that Sheffield Wednesday seem to be a club that change ownership fairly early on in the save, which is great. More of that in reality, please and thank you. And I was like, and they invest. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, but there is that. There's always that potential, isn't there, for, you know, the wheels to fall off. And I was like, oh, if he's managing the Wednesday, I'm not sure. We're really going to have to lean into the therapy part of the podcast because I feel like I'm going to have to be coaching him emotionally over the next couple of months. But Stoke City, what an absolute touch you've had there, Kev.
It's like, a pretty impressive one. Sheffield Wednesday, by the way, Rich, just so you know, Sheffield Wednesday came down with us last season. So they're in the, League One as well, along with Preston, were the ones that got relegated last season. Now, I am not top of the pre-season preview of League One because there's also the likes of Portsmouth down there and they are currently top of the pre-season preview with the likes of Rotherham and West Brom. So I'm sitting in fourth. So if you look through, we've got Portsmouth, Rotherham, West Brom, Peterborough, Sheffield Wednesday, QPR, Blackpool, Preston is the top nine predicted clubs in there. It's still not going to be an easy season in the sense of I don't think we're going to walk this league because there's a couple of clubs that are above us that have got even better players than we have potentially. And there's just going to be a slog to get through 46 games or whatever it is in the League One season. It's going to be hard work anyway just mm-hmm. to get everybody yeah. to be fit all the way through. Because you're only allowed a 22-man squad plus under 21s or whatever it is, I mm-hmm. think, to make up any other gaps you want. So it's not a massively experienced squad in a lot of sure. Senses. So there are going to be some challenges in it. But it's going to be an interesting ride because I genuinely feel like even if I don't get automatic promotion in the first season, we can be there or thereabouts, and then we can move that on from there. And I've got some really good players for this mm. level of football. If I go and just say one of my players is worth in League One 15 to 17 million pounds.
Wow. Okay.
Because they shouldn't be there.
they just physically shouldn't be there. Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't let them leave yet, and nobody's come in on their release clause mm-hmm. or whatever they may have. And it may still happen. I'm sitting on the 29th of July for the first game of the season, just about to be played. So we've still got a month of the transfer window, and another three players could leave, and I might have to replace them. But I've got £26 million in the bank. So whatever it is at the highest point that I can find a player that will come mm-hmm. and join me, I can pay for them, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But how does that work? How do you get to that point from being at Hampton and Richmond and Colwyn Bay and being dreadful for the last season? It's a bizarre one.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes it's just better to not question these things, I find. Like, was it during the interview, did you just keep on like holding up like a little picture of Rory Delap? Just go, hey, hey.
Well, yeah, I'd love him. But, oh, that's the other thing that I can tell you as mm-hmm, a little bit mm-hmm. of a spoiler for anybody. I found a really, really good gem of a young player, Rich.
Okay.
20 years old, right? Mm-hmm. Bear this in mind, the fact that you and I both love a big meaty man up front, etc. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I found a 6'5".
Nice.
6'5". Nice. 20-year-old Brazilian. 6'5", 20-year-old Brazilian called Thierry Henry. That's just, why not? I mean, you have to, don't you, really? And then you actually look at him and he's got 13 pace for a big guy. That's not too bad. 16 balance, 17 jumping reach. He's got 16 heading. He's got bravery. He's got a bit of stamina and strength. 20 years old, Brazilian target forward called Thierry Henry.
That's perfect. That's how absolutely cool is that? Perfect. So that's superb.
We're going to see whether we can use him this season and see what happens. But
you're going to have the best time. You're going to have the best
or
time
the worst thing. Time if or for the whatever worst. Reason it doesn't
no
work
middle ground.
At all. even finishing mid-table, I'm probably going to be sitting there going, how did that happen? Why did we finish mid-table? For goodness sake, this is ridiculous.
And it sounds like, you know, from somebody who has had, you know, a fair amount of experience managing at that kind of level on previous FMs, mm-hmm. the Championship and League One mm-hmm. are absolute pigs to get out of at the best
it's
of times.
It's such a slog, isn't it? It's so big.
It's such a long season. Mm. You know, you've got to, you know, there's restrictions on squad size. So rotation is key. Like a 46-game season is obscene anyway.
Yep.
And then you've got the risk of playoffs. You've got to try and keep people healthy. You've got to keep morale up. Yep. And then, you know, after 4 or 5 seasons of an FM save, that's when FM starts to go proper FM, isn't it? So the fact that you're down there and you've got the likes of, you know, Pompey are down there. Mm-hmm. You've got the Albion down there who can be very good. Like, you know, Stoke, mm-hmm. Sheffield, dare I say Sheffield Wednesday.
You say these it. Are teams. Dare to say it.
I'll say it. Sheffield Wednesday, Kev. You've got the Wednesday down there with you. Anything could happen with Wednesday. Honestly, it's like just those on their own. Like if somebody said to you, right, Sheffield Wednesday are in League One, you'd go, yeah, I'd say that they were going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Stoke are in League One. Oh, you'd fancy Stoke for it, wouldn't you? West Bromwich Albion are down there. Oh, surely West Bromwich Albion are going to be good. Suddenly that list of contenders is 10 teams long. Yep.
Half a dozen into 2 automatics and 1 promotion spot.
Yeah.
It's still a challenging one to figure out.
It absolutely is. But I think you're going to have a great time with it.
There are 2 more little bits that might interest you about this particular setup. Firstly, you talked about the possibility that I might have ended up at Sheffield Wednesday. I almost ended up at Morecambe. And that would have been a fun one, wasn't it? Because they came up as available and I decided in the end not to apply for it. And I think given that I'm at Stoke now, I probably could have got the job at Morecambe. But there are two reasons that I didn't apply for it. Firstly, because at the time, I really didn't want to go back into England at this point in the save. I wanted to experience the other leagues as much as I could. And secondly, I just sat there and thought, I don't know if I could do that and be happy about the fact that this is Jeb's save as well on the podcast and other bits and pieces. It just didn't feel quite right to do it, but I could have ended up there. The second piece of information that might surprise you a little bit, because I believe this is might have been where he starts at in real terms. There is a guy on our network save, Rich, that I've had at Fulham for a little while, called Tezgil.
Yes.
Who came through the ranks, I believe, at Stoke City and then in game in the network save moved to Liverpool before I picked it up. Now, he is not quite as good here as he is in my network save one. But for this level at League One, he's still really good and he's 22 years old and he's not even my first choice striker alongside my target forward because I've got Tyrese Campbell who is just a little bit more kind of experienced at this point, but Tezgel will probably take that mantle halfway through the season as you tend to do and he'll come through a bit and all the stuff if I can make it happen. But I've got options. But that's interesting, isn't it? You know, Tezgel playing well for me at Fulham in the Premier League in about season six or whatever. He's now playing for me in League One at Stoke City in about season six. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously there's some good teams, but I fell on my feet. I fell on my feet, ultimately.
You've fallen upwards and it's always a wonderful, it's always a wonderful thing to do. But you know what? It's, and again, spoilers for everybody who's watching this. We had a little chat about what we're going to talk about before we recorded.
We
try not to wing it. And one of the things I was thinking to myself is that wouldn't it be nice to talk about? Because we've both had, you know, I think everyone's had experiences of bad runs of form on the game. And it's all about what it is that motivates you to kind of carry on, you know, load that save back up again, or in terms of creating content, get back in front of a camera. And Kev said, well, I'm probably going to answer a few of those questions when I discuss it. And he has very eloquently. But this was going to be one of the things I wanted to talk about. It's that falling upwards into something just instantly, like that motivation to want to play the game. Just you go from almost dreading it, like, oh, do I really want to? Can I do it? You know, I had it with Mexico last year, just dreading going live, dreading that save because nothing I did worked. So it was just 3 years of abject misery in Mexico and nothing I did, nothing worked, couldn't change anything despite having good, it just wasn't working. And then I made the change. I just made the choice to just like rage quit on stream, start something new. And then I went to Stuttgart, which meant nothing to me, but I was like, it was fun. And I was like, I'm just enjoying playing the game again. And that leap that you've made from a struggling Colwyn Bay side to suddenly a Stoke City team where you've got a budget and you've got good players and that excitement just to get back down in front of the computer and play the game again is such a nice feeling. You know, it's, you know, you and Jeb talked quite eloquently last week about, you know, what you do, you know, and what people like to do when they're maybe a little bit burnt out on things like Football Manager. And just the joy of wanting to sit down and spend time playing that game is, you can't put a price on it. It's brilliant. No, it's such a lovely feeling. You know, I've been feeling it myself over the last few weeks. You know, I've been behind in terms of my streaming. The only streams I've managed for the last four, and I've been when we've network gamed, which is brilliant fun, and I absolutely adore it. But my save has been feeling a bit neglected, and it's not through the lack of wanting to play it.
I've just
physically haven't had the time to sit down and stream and play it. I've done a few little bits and pieces offline myself, nothing major, but just because I've wanted to get back in the chair and play it a little bit. And that's a really, really, really nice feeling to have, especially, you know, because it's, you know, we're only in late February now. The game's only really been out for, you know, 3 or 4 months. But, you know, some people, you play a lot of any kind of game, the motivation starts to slip, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at the stage where I really want to dive back into it and get going. And I'm excited. I miss, you know, the excitement is there. I just want to give it a go. And it's a really, really nice thing to be able to do. You know, I struggled early part of my previous season with Ajax, hit a really, really rough run of games. And I was like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Fortunately, I made some changes and the changes worked and it started to get better.
Mm.
But if they hadn't done that, you start thinking to yourself, oh, what's the next move? Where do we go next? What do we do? And, you know, if the Stoke job had come up, I'd probably have taken Stoke. Come on! Like, it's great. It's really, really exciting. And I love that, you know.
This is what scares me, genuinely scares me the most about the potential of doing a one-club save and nailing your colours to the mast and saying, this is my one-club save. Because I can't guarantee, as my one-club save, that I won't have my Colwyn-Bay season.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, what do you do with the thought that you might lose your club? Especially if you're in the amazing situation that we'd all really love to be in, of somebody like Callum, who's dedicated himself to Slough for the last couple of FMs because of the connection to the club and the people and being there at the club and being made a big deal out of and all that kind of stuff and genuinely feel connected to it. What if you then don't succeed and you get the sack at your one club save? And I genuinely, it brings me out in like heart palpitations thinking about having to do it. So that's why the journey save for me is so much better and more fitted for who I am. Because if there's a moment where Colwyn Bay happens, you basically just say, okay, it's not ideal, but in the world of football, IRL managers occasionally just go, this isn't for me, and walk away. They just do sometimes.
Yeah,
it's not always the club that get rid of their manager. Sometimes it just happens that way. So I feel happy about having the opportunity to do that. Now, falling upwards to Stoke is a bit weird, and I'm not sure what the game algorithm has in the amongst it to make those sorts of things happen occasionally, because it feels like I should be at Morecambe and not Stoke, potentially, with all due respect and love to Morecambe. But that one club save just absolutely scares me as a streamer, as a player of the game on a Saturday when nobody's watching. It's fine. You can do what you like with it and I'd feel comfortable. But do you feel the same way about that? Because I genuinely don't know whether I could do a one club save as a content creator, especially having connected up to the club.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the biggest, challenges with the one club save, isn't it? Because if it all starts to fall apart a little bit, there's no plan B. Like that's
what people's plan B? That's an interesting question, isn't it? To get people's views on, if you want to communicate some of that, what is your plan B if your one club save goes really belly up all of a sudden?
That's it. I mean, I had it, you know, like I say, struggled in Mexico last year and just had to just walk away and start something new. Unfortunately, I was still early enough into the game cycle where I could do that without, you know, I had plenty of time. You know, I had nothing but time, which helped. The only other one club save I've done was my very first football manager on stream save, which was Sheffield Wednesday, 3 FMs ago. And it was early doors. It was successful. Got promoted after 3 years, which we shouldn't have done because we're still... We didn't have, I think I'd spent a total of about 500k in the first 3 seasons and got promoted, which was quite incredible. Had a really, really good first season in the Premier League, which were, and you know, bedded ourselves in and thought, right, these are really solid foundations for long term success now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then season 5, I had a Colwyn Bay and it was going hideously, and there was no. You know, I couldn't get the team to play. The results were all awful. I was in the boardroom. I was given, I think it was like 6 games to save my job. Had a full-on breakdown at about midnight on stream. needing 6 points from my final 2 games. Just came up with a strikerless 5-track Artista formation. Beat somebody 1-0 with it. And then just rage quit before the last game. Because I was like, you know what? I don't want to. I was just sitting there thinking to myself, and I remember saying it over and over again to the chat. I was like, I shouldn't be in this position. The fact that I've taken a club with no budget and frankly insane ownership, and I've taken them from the Championship to the Premier League, and I've finished, I think we've scraped 10th, maybe even 9th season one in the Premier League. So I was like, so we weren't a million miles away from Europe, comfortably top half of the table. Yep. And at this point in the final season, you know, we weren't in the relegation zone. We were still above the relegation places, I think, just because form had been so bad. But I remember sitting there thinking, I shouldn't be in this position. Like that, the previous four seasons should have bought me so much grace with the club. Like, doesn't matter. He's having a poor season. It's all right. He'll turn it around next year. And I think if the pressure from the board hadn't been there, I think I would have carried it on a little bit longer. I was also quite fortunate at that point that it was getting towards the end of, I think it was the FM21 cycle anyway, because I didn't start streaming until, so my streaming career started the day after the Championship season finished that year, because Sheffield Wednesday got relegated on the last day, and I started a save with Sheffield Wednesday the day after.
Yeah.
So, you know, by the time I was streaming sporadically, by the time I got to that point, you know, there wasn't too much FM21 left anyway. So I didn't have the pressure of thinking I need to start something else before the next game cycle begins. I could just, I think I messed around with the, with an old Mad Scientist database for a couple of weeks, and that was it, you know?
Yeah.
But if that had been something I'd started to do, you know, if I'd had that experience, you know, this year, for example, I'll run a one club save, I'm doing the Wednesday and we're going to give it a prop, and you get sacked after you're in that, then you're like, oh no. And especially because, you know, Sheffield Wednesday are my team. You know, I've very
of course, that's talked the other about thing,
Sheffield Wednesday
it?
For a while. That's the additional pressure, isn't it?
Yeah. You know,
I don't have the connection that Callum has with Slough, for example. The fact that Slough fans, like he tweeted yesterday about streaming and finishing his season. Fans were tweeting Callum, wishing him good luck at the end of his virtual. Like, that's such a cool thing. That's like an absolute, like, but that there's always going to be that additional pressure. I know that Callum has talked on when he's been streaming a bit this week about, you know, his thoughts about his content in the long run, and everybody was in his chat. You know, we all felt the same way that, you know, we're invested in Callum and we're invested in the story he is telling this year. You know, it's not that, you know, he told a wonderful story last season with Slough, mystery box, developed that incredible bond with the club. Couldn't quite get them to, you know, couldn't quite get over the finish line for the save at the end, but told an incredible story. What a wonderful journey throughout. And this year it's still Slough, but it's Bill Slough. Different story, telling a different story, and people are invested in people like Callum. People aren't necessarily I would watch him do another 10 seasons in the Vanarama easily. Because
as long as there's a playoff at the end of it.
As long as there's a playoff at the end of it. Yeah, if there's no playoffs, then he can get in the ocean. How dare he? Waste my time. But it's I'm interested in that story, and I think the time scale doesn't matter as much.
Yep.
And I think, you know, Callum's in that fortunate position where he is, you know, considering what he does moving forwards with his content in terms of his streaming, because he doesn't want to stagnate as a streamer. It's not because he has got the virtual board breathing down his neck. It's like, oh, you've not made it to playoffs, Callum. You could get sacked now.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that's a horrible, horrible feeling. So it's, it must be hard. But like you say, Kev, what is the plan B? People that are listening to this podcast, people that are watching that do one club saves, do you plan that additional content at the start of the year? Do you kind of just wing it at the time? What's the next move? What's the next logical step? You know, because sometimes it can be fun. And you, like, I had it last year. I finished Scandinavia, still had a bit of time left.
Yep.
Spent a really, really fun season in the Championship with West Ham, who, not too dissimilar to your Stoke team, Kev, you know, still had some, you know, Scamacca in the Championship. I was like, this is going to be great fun. Oh, this should be brilliant. He's like, boss, I want to go. He's like, sorry, I don't speak Italian. He's like, I'm speaking English. Yep. Sorry, I don't. This is complicated. Sorry, mate.
Talk to me again in November.
Yeah, let's have a chat. it's the 1st of February. Oh, you want to leave? Oh, sorry. Now I understand. Ah, molto bene. Okay, right, we're good now. Okay, well, end of the season, you can go, mate. That's fine. But it's great fun to be able to do. I fell upwards into that. I was lucky that I found something that I was like, oh, this will be a bit of fun. But it you're not always going to get lucky with it. So sure. Please do let us know what your plans are and how you approach these kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun to know. You know, I think having spent a couple of, you know, FM cycles now focusing more on kind of the journeyman kind of content and, you know, mm-hmm. that's way more. That's kind of my thing now. That's what I enjoy more. Too. I like mm-hmm. that freedom. So it's good.
Yeah.
And I will carry on making that content very soon. I promise everybody. Sorry for being slow for the last couple of weeks. I'll be back. So that's going to be good. Amazing. Now there is an elephant in the room I think we need to address, Kev.
Is there? Blimey. I mean, I've got a big room, but
it's right behind you. It's massive. He's got a big trunk and everything. He's just been back and forth all the time. You are now in possession, Kev, of a big gold belt, aren't you? Here it is. That big gold belt draped. For those of you that, for the audio listeners, Kev.
Yeah, we're a good audio podcast. It's,
you know. Great audio podcast. We definitely don't rely too much on visual references. For the audio listeners, Kev has a big gold wrestling belt draped beautifully across
his shoulder. Something for the audio listeners as I undo the Velcro to actually open up the belt to put it over my shoulder. Here you go. ASMR with Kev.
Yeah. Oh, satisfying that was. That was very satisfying. Kev, where'd you get your big gold belt, pal?
Oh, I bought it because I'm sad. No, I didn't. it was sent to me by the lovely Michael, who is the lead guy behind the drafting competition that run FM drafts, but in the style of wrestling, basically, called the World Heavyweight Championships. And I have been its heavyweight champion for probably about a year or so, something like that, with a few defenses in there, here and there, dotted about. It's something that I won from the lovely Wick Div a little while ago. And it's the big gold belt has been suggested is on its way to me for about the last year, just because, and it just never quite happened. It arrived a couple of days ago, Rich, which was really fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I am now in possession of my World Heavyweight Championship, just in time to come up against the mighty Limo next Friday, and I might lose it and have to pass it on to him after a year of being the champ and having the title in my possession for a couple of days. Limo's a bit scary, isn't he? I mean, he's a lovely guy, really, really fantastic guy, but in drafting terms, he's a bit scary. He knows what he's doing. So I make no necessary guarantees, other than, of course, my character in the organization. This is my belt, it's mine, you're not having it, is a definite thing. But he's a bit scary. It's going to be a bit of an interesting one to go through on Friday, but really, really looking forward to it, because I get to spend the evening with Limo, which is amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, how cool is that in itself? But yeah, I'm going to be defending my title on Friday. It's going to be magnificent. It will be streamed either on the main World Heavyweight Championships Twitch channel or on mine or Limo's or whatever. You'll find all of us probably doing so. So come and check it out. It's going to be an evening. It's not just one and done. It's not like a 10-minute match and then whoever wins it takes the title. There's more to it than that we'll talk to you a little bit as the week progresses. But come and join us for that because it'll be fun. But yeah, I am slightly concerned that I now have the title belt in my possession and I'm going to lose it at the first opportunity just because that's how these things work out, isn't it? But yeah, I have my title, which is good. And it's quite heavy, Rich. You know, it sits on the shoulder very nicely, but it's still quite heavy. But yeah, there you go.
It looks like it's got some weight to it, mate. It looks like
it does.
Good quality belt, that. We have been... We've been joking behind the scenes for quite a while because the talk of an actual physical belt for Kev, you know, as you say, it's been mentioned sporadically over the last 12 months or so. And we've always joked, as like, oh, wouldn't it be ironic that it will arrive just in time for a title defense against somebody like Ali? And then it's exactly what's happened. But hey, I am backing Kev to the hilt.
Yep. So there might have been a particular IRL wrestler that I have been mentioned in terms of name to be like. I'm now distancing myself from that particular fella because he doesn't seem to be the most pleasant of people necessarily.
No.
So it's now Kev freaking Rollins because it sounds as much like Sepp as I could get, basically. So that's my wrestling persona. I am going to fight and claw my way to try and keep this as much as I can against Limo. The benefit of facing Limo, of course, is that unless he does something really, really weird, we kind of know how he's going to set up, at least, because he's been doing the same sort of thing for the last couple of FMs and being very successful with it. So I'm imagining I might encounter a 4-4-2. So the question becomes, and Limo may well be listening to this because he's a lovely guy, but the question becomes, do you combat that with a 4-4-2, or do you go really narrow and leave him the wide areas but try and get through the middle of his two-man midfield? Or do you play three at the back, or, you know, whatever? Haven't figured that one out yet. We've got a week to try and figure that one out. But we're going to do something to try and combat the fact that he's going to come at us with probably a 4-4-2. And see what happens. But yeah, really, really looking forward to it. I did suggest to Michael when he said the belt might be on its way, I says, do you just want to hold off for a week and just send it to Limo instead, maybe? Just if that works out rather than send it to me. But he said, no, you've got to have it. You've been champion for X amount of time, all that stuff. So it is here. I'm happy that it's here. Bring on Limo and we'll see what happens this Friday. But I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great evening. And whatever happens, I'll have had a good time. But I really want to keep the belt for one reason, Rich. It's mine.
Absolutely is yours, Kevin. Absolutely is yours. I am privy enough to know that the stipulations and what's going to be happening on Friday night. And I think we're in for a very exciting evening. It's going to be great fun. Here at Foot Manager Therapy, we love Limo. I think everybody, it's impossible to not. He's one of the absolute best of us, is Limo. Yep. So if I was going to get battered at FM by somebody, you know, I'd be very, very happy for it to be Limo. But he's a great guy. And you're all right as well, I suppose, Kev.
Thanks, mate.
I think
he's calling himself king, and I just can't have it. Can't have it.
Bless him. No. You know,
he can try, exactly. But it's all right.
Exactly. He can try. He can absolutely try. But hey, if it's now Kev freaking Rollins, I would like, what I'd really, really like more than anything else is I'd like, you know, to take it all the way back to the pre-Seth freaking Rollins days, to the Tyler Black days. Ah. And I want to see you in the background swinging that title around above your head. And imagine.
There is only about 3 foot between me and that wall, just so you know.
we can make the most of the space, though. That's what I'm into now. Imagine that. What an absolutely glorious time for everyone involved. No, so look. Best of luck to you, Kev.
Thank you very much.
Friday night. You don't need it. You're going to be fine. You're going to be
absolutely fine.
Do your very, very best. Exactly. That's how it works. So there you go. So if you're at a loose end on Friday night, check out Kev and Limo streams. Check out all the streams involved. I'm sure they'll have a panel. I'm sure they'll be doing some behind the scenes kind of stuff.
There's also another title match for one of the other belts, and also a tag match as well happening in and around the same sort of occasion.
Yes.
In the next little, it's all happening this week, so they're on different nights. But make sure you check them all out.
Of course, because of course we have new tag team champions now as well, don't we?
Yeah.
Ali and Owen's reign of terror is over. So reign. Is it really a reign if you don't defend the belt?
Yeah.
Fight me, boys. You won't. There you go. So yeah, there's plenty to keep an eye out for in terms of the old PvP and the the World Heavyweight title matches and other belts. So keep an eye out over the course of the week. That'll be loads and loads of fun. And I think if we're going to talk about PvP stuff, Kev,
go for it.
Should we make a little announcement of our own?
Go on, Rich. You can do this.
Oh, shall we?
Yeah,
Shall we do just that? Look, we've been talking about it for a little while, and we have made an executive decision, Kev and I, between the two of us, that on the, and let me just double check, because I've written it down, but I don't trust myself, on
17th.
The 17th of March. So that's in 3 weeks' time. 17th of March, FMT versus the community is back, baby.
Yeah.
Coming back. Come and play some Football Manager with us on the internet. So if you want to play, drop us a message. I think now we can't, we're not at the moment in a position to guarantee the participation of Callum and or Jeb. Mm-hmm. So we figured that, you know, because obviously Jeb is just away a lot with work at the moment, yep. and Callum with a tiny baby in the house, you know, indeed. Setting aside time is not the easiest thing in the world to do by any stretch of the imagination. So, but Kev and I will both be there.
Yep.
Hopefully Callum and Jeb as well, but there's say no pressure on either of them to be. Case mm-hmm. and listen to this, boys, before we have the opportunity to talk to you about it. But come and play some Football Manager with us. So there'll be comparatively limited spaces. We do have a tendency previously to go on a bit of a first come, first serve basis. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you are interested in coming and hanging out with us for the evening and playing Football Manager, drop us a DM, get in touch with us via the Discord, drop us a message on Twitter, however you want to do it. Just say, hey, I would like to come and take part in an FMT versus the community. They're historically always brilliant fun. We have a yep. lovely old time. Stipulations and databases will be kind of announced a little bit closer to the time. Not mm-hmm. that it particularly matters. It's not particularly important. We don't take it particularly seriously. It's just an opportunity to come hang out with us.
Unless we win this, and then, you know.
Unless we win, then it's massively Oof. Important. I've won yeah, yeah, one yeah. of them. So
yeah. That was Jeb. It's about my
Jeb's
time.
Jeb's won one. Come at me, peasant. So, you know, two great wins for Pod so far. Yep. Community, I think, are reigning champions, though, if I remember
they
last
are.
Time we did
that. Yeah,
community are reigning champions. So we need to put you in your place. But yeah, come and hang out. I will say this. I have a feeling, Ooh. And I don't want to, because obviously it's out of our hands, but I have a feeling that mm-hmm. around that kind of time, there might be a certain retro database that Ooh. Might nearly be ready, according to a certain retro database creator who is wonderful and we adore him, and his name Indeed. Is the Mad Scientist.
Really?
So, you know, I'm just saying, if that retro database is out by then
maybe.
You never know. But yeah, just drop us a DM. Let us know. Come and hang out with us. You don't have to, there's no obligations. You don't have to stream it.
Nope.
Nothing like that. The only thing I would recommend if you have is like a mic or the capacity to jump into a voice call with us. Because
that's the fun of the evening, isn't it?
That's what makes it fun. We all get in a big voice chat on Discord and we just hang out with each other and we just have a good time. Mm-hmm. So if you've listened to podcasts for a while and think, oh, it might be nice to spend a bit of time and hang out with some new people, let us know. If you've done this before, let us know. If you've never done either of those things and have never listened to the podcast before, how do you know about it?
Exactly. Like, who are you?
Let us know, you sneaky little sausages. So come and hang out. FMT versus the community.
Definitely.
17th of March. Spend some time.
That would be the Sunday evening for the UK.
Yes, Sunday evening. We tend to start at around kind of 7 p.m. because there'll be a few games to get through. But yeah, so about 7 p.m. normally we're done by about 10:30. So
yeah,
come and spend the night with us. We're good. We have a good time. Friends for life. That's how it works. Kev, I think if I just check the docket and the list of mm-hmm, things we were going to talk about, I think we've quite eloquently talked about them all. So
I think so.
Yeah, from my point of view, mate, I reckon that's probably a podcast.
I agree. Yeah. It felt very podcast-like and I had a lovely time. And it's good to have you back.
Oh, mate, it's good to be back. It's, you know, sometimes it's bittersweet to miss an episode because on the one hand, I miss talking to my friends. But on the other hand, I enjoy getting to listen to episodes as a listener again. So that's, works both ways for me. I'd also like to point out before we start to say goodbyes, by the way, that since we began this segment talking about the World Heavyweight Championship, Kev has kept the belt on his shoulder.
I have.
Through, and it looks absolutely incredible.
It is so, mine.
It is yours. It is Kev's. Kev, if the people would like to watch you doing things this week, like defending your World Heavyweight title, or starting your new adventure with Stoke City, or dare I say it, a to-be-decided FMT network.
Because
that's still a thing. All the content, all the things, all the streams. Where can people find you doing that?
You can find me at the United City FM on Twitch every weekday afternoon, 3 till 5 p.m. UK time. You can find me on the network save probably Monday or Thursday evening this week if Jeb's around and Rich is available, mm-hmm. and definitely Friday evening on my streams again. Or on the World Heavyweight Championship stream, defending my title against Limo. Come at me, Limo. Give it your best. Don't be afraid, mate. Don't have fear. Have a lot of fear. No, don't.
So much fear.
whichever way, come and have a go. Well, it'll be good fun.
Yeah. That's an amount of fear.
Yeah.
A to-be-decided amount of fear is key. Wonderful.
What about you, Rich? What are you up to this week? Are you going to get a stream in, do you think?
Yes, I will be back this week. Things have calmed down behind the scenes for me a little bit now, so I should have a little bit more spare time this week. So obviously, to be determined network game evening will be happening. And What's the Story will be back. I mentioned at the start of the stream, I've done a few little bits and pieces offline. Mm-hmm. We've started our fifth season of The Save, so season two with Ajax. And it started well. A few things have happened behind the scenes, so we've got a few emotional goodbyes that we've made, but we've made some exciting signings as well. So there'll be some updates, and come and hang out, and we'll go through it all together, and we'll have a lovely time in the Netherlands. But that would be twitch.tv/RichOwensFM.
Nice.
No need for Carlton today, because he gets it wrong, the big silly sausage.
The silly sausage.
So, big silly sausage. So come hang out. Obviously, as well, it would be remiss of us not to say twitch.tv/Jebberoo and twitch.tv/YCallum as well.
Go check them both out. They are awesome and lovely.
Aren't they just? Go spend some time with them. Spend time with all of us. We'd appreciate it. It's good. We have a good time. Kev, thank you so much for spending another wonderful Sunday morning with me, pal.
Thank you. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you, the audience, for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. You're all good people, and you validate our decisions to talk about Football Manager on a weekly basis. It's very kind of you. Thank you very much. But I think that quite succinctly wraps up another episode of Football Manager Therapy. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye-bye.
'Cause I put this belt down now, it's really heavy.
Yes, you can.